Welcome to Today on Broadway for Thursday, March 30th, 2017. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Stars James Marino.
James, last night you were at Miss Saigon, which is why you were not here. I know you're going to talk about this on this week on Broadway on Sunday, but do you want to give a real quick nuts and bolts review?
If you liked the show originally, you're going to love this show. If you don't know the show, I think you'll like this show. If you didn't like the show, don't go see this. That's pretty much it.
It's pretty faithful to the original, then, is what you're saying.
It's
in all the major ways, at least.
Yeah. And I mean, just some really outlandish, beautiful performances by Jean Briones and Eva Nova Zeta. And I can't say enough of them, enough about
awesome.
Them. Just awesome. I love it.
I know you have a soft spot, or maybe not so soft spot, for that show in your heart after your many auditions that went unreturned. Anyway, before we do get started, James, yesterday when I was recording Wednesday's episode at about 12:30 in the morning, I misspoke and said that Diane Keaton won an Academy Award for the film of Marvin's Room. That is incorrect. She was nominated for her performance, but lost to eventual Tony winner, Frances McDormand in Fargo, Don't You Know, on my favorite radio show, ESPN's The Dan Lebatard Show, when co-host and bumbling idiot Stu Gatz reads the internet incorrectly, which he regularly does. He has to pay $5, so I will do the same in this case, but since, James, we don't really get paid for doing this, I'm just going to pay it myself. Is that okay?
Sure. Absolutely. Okay. And, yeah, we appreciate, anyway.
All right, on to the news, man.
All right, feisty today.
That's not going to be my last rant of the day, so just wait for this next one. You might know, James, if you look at the script, you might know where it's coming.
Okay, Stars join the Muni's 99th season. Is this it?
No, this is not it. This is a great story. Last night, the St. Louis Muni announced additional principal casting for its upcoming 99th season in chronological order of shows. Let's start with Jesus Christ Superstar, which will run from June 12th through the 18th. Bryce Rhinus will play Jesus. Rock of Ages Tony nominee Constantine Maroulis will play Judas. And Hawk Girl Ciara, Sierra Renee, will be Mary Magdalene, and Ben Davis will play Pontius Pilate. Then from June 20th through the 29th, Emily Skinner will play Ursula, and Jerry Dixon will play the role of King Triton in The Little Mermaid. Emma DeGerstead will play Ariel. She's a Swedish-American actress who's done some Nickelodeon stuff, which I'm unfamiliar with, but she also originated the role of Kendra in Jason Robert Brown's 13, so good for her. After Independence Day, from July 5th through the 11th, Jordan Gelbert will play Pseudolus, and a funny thing happened on the way to the Forum. John Tartaglia will play Hysterium. In current Christine Daae, Ali Ewalt will play Philia. The next week will be All Shook Up, in which Caroline Bowman will play Natalie. Then in what many are assuming might be a pre-Broadway run, Beth Malone will return to the role of Molly in The Unsinkable Molly Brown from July 21st through 27th. This show will again be directed and choreographed by Kathleen Marshall, as it was in Denver a few years ago before Beth got involved with a little show that kept her busy called Fun Home. She will be joined by Paolo Montalban as Arthur and one of my faves, Whitney Basher, as Julia. Then Bianca Mariquin and Megan Secor will play Cassie and Sheila in a chorus line before J. Armstrong Johnson seizes the day as Jack Kelly in Newsies, opposite Tessa Grady as Catherine and Jeff McCarthy as Pulitzer. That production will run from August 7th through 13th, and more casting will be announced throughout the month of April. James, can you just imagine how many Newsies they are going to be able to fit on that ginormous Muni stage? Like, there are some fansies out there that might go into convulsions watching that many Newsies dance.
It's ginormous, that space. And what a season. And it's their 99th season. How do you follow that up for the 100th season? What do you do?
I'm always impressed with they obviously do something right. They obviously treat their actors really, really well, because they get some like phenomenal talent to go out and do a show for a week and a half outdoors in the blazing heat of St. Louis in the middle of the summer. If you haven't lived in the Midwest, in the, you know, that part of the country in the summer, it is scorching hot. Like, I live in Central Florida here. I would rather be in Central Florida during the summer than in St. Louis and Kansas and Oklahoma and in Nebraska. It is so hot there. So they obviously treat people well at the Muni. And I have a feeling that when it comes to the 100th season, they will pull out all the stops. So this looks like a great season. So congratulations to all of them. But I'm kind of anxious to see what they're going to do next year already.
Yeah, I mean, summer's out there. You know, the corn is as high as an elephant's eye.
True. It's a state, a little north and to the east. Yeah.
How many elephants are out in cornfields that they can measure that?
Elephino. That's actually what you get when you cross an elephant with a rhino.
All right. What's up in the show and casting news?
Apparently I'm stealing your bad dad joke puns. Anyway, despite some early Broadway buzz, Luke-ish warm reviews seem to have derailed the Murder on the Orient Express's train, because instead of New York, the show will be next playing the Hartford stage in spring of 2018. No word if the show will eventually try to circle back and head into New York. Obviously, since it's still about a year away, there is no word on casting at this point, but our friend Alexandra Silber, who is one of the show's stars, did insinuate on Twitter after the announcement was made that she would be traveling the road with the show. The show got decent reviews, but there were definitely some things that playwright Ken Ludwig might want to take another crack at before getting it back on stage. Next up in this section, Academy Award winner Diane Wiest will lead the Yale Reps production of Samuel Beckett's Happy Days at Theater for a New Audience beginning next month. Apparently that has nothing to do with the Ron Howard TV show. This show will play the Polanski Shakespeare Center from April 23rd through May 28th. In other show news, just 2 days after the show officially opened, the Public Theater has extended John Leguizamo's Latin History for Morons. The show will now run through April 28th. Now, James, do you want to guess where my rant is coming in?
About the whole Happy Days thing?
Yes, I hate not Happy Days. Next story.
Catherine Russell to celebrate 30 years committing the perfect crime, and I don't mean the show. So she hasn't actually been for 30 years, kind of like the Fantastics longest running show thing?
No, same producers, but no. But yes, finally in this section, James, I didn't want to mention this, but next month, Catherine Russell will celebrate 30 years of playing the exact same maddeningly incomprehensible role in the bizarrely unfollowable murder mystery Perfect Crime off Broadway. James, while you have Daddy Long Legs, I have Perfect Crime as my kind of white whale. So I wasn't even going to mention this, but I had to give the show's press rep some props for this paragraph in the announcement. It reads, quote, "Enduring seven election seasons, 9/11, the subsequent worst recession since the Great Depression." I don't know that the Great Depression or that the recession and 9/11 were connected, as he insinuates. But anyway, mixed Yelp reviews, which is awesome. Industry folks confounded by the fact that it is still around, and many critics. Perfect Crime, a small murder mystery with a cast of five, still remains open for business with its lead actress, Catherine Russell, at the helm for 12,318 performances. It's too bad that that paragraph is actually better than the show itself, but the press rep took me from grudging respect to blood-boiling anger when he included a quote from Forbes in the very next paragraph in which someone who doesn't understand either theater or baseball compared Russell to Cal Ripken. Now, Calvin Edwin Ripken Jr. is my favorite athlete of all time, and while he is most known for his unbreakable streak of playing 2,632 consecutive Major League Baseball games, he is also one of the most influential figures in the sport from an on-the-field perspective as well. At 6'4", he turned the position of shortstop from a defensive-only position, and he was one of the greatest defenders of all time, played only by small, fast athletes, into one where a smart, strong, big defender could play the position and be a power hitter. Cal is a Hall of Famer, a 19-time All-Star, a two-time MVP, a World Series champion, and a member of the MLB All-Century team. Russell has played the same part in a play that no one has ever liked, that she produces herself for 30 years, because no one else would do it. So, hey, Forbes, keep Mr. Ripken's name out your mouth. Okay, rant done, James.
Okay, what's up in Equity Casting News?
Auditions are going to begin in mid-April for the Broadway production of The Prom, which is scheduled to open in 2017-2018. We know this because of a recent Equity Casting notice that went out. As he did in the Atlanta Alliance Theater out-of-town tryout, Casey Nicholaw will direct and choreograph this musical. The Hotlanta Run, which got very strong but constructive reviews, starred such big-time names as Brooks Ashmanskas, Beth Level, Christopher Sieber, and starred Anna Grace Barlow in the lead role. The show is about a bunch of has-been stars who latch onto the cause of a rural high school banning same-sex couples at their prom, and they kind of rally and take this kind of political moment and try to make it about them. I would be shocked with names like Ashmanskas, Level, and Sieber involved out of town if they were not retained, because those are fantastic talents. This show, in addition to Casey Nicholaw at the helm, features a book by the great Bob Martin and Chad Begelin, music by Matthew Sklar, and lyrics by Begelin as well. So I'm excited to see that this is starting to move forward. This got really strong notices in Atlanta, and it looks like this is just another show, at least, actively moving forward for a 2017-2018 opening. So I'm excited. Speaking of shows in development, in the last 2 days, we have seen other Equity Casting notices go up for new musicals based on beloved films, not for productions, but for different developmental events. And those two musicals are Beetlejuice and
Beetlejuice,
Clueless.
Beetlejuice.
Don't do it. Every time we talk about this, we have – no. These are both – it's showtime. These are both musicals that we've discussed before, obviously, but they are both getting back to work in the coming months. Beetlejuice will have a staged reading in May under the direction of Alex Timbers, which we've discussed before. The musical features music and lyrics by Eddie Perfect. Like, seriously, that can't be his real name. Eddie Perfect. Mm. And a book by Anthony King and Scott Brown. Clueless will get a four-week lab in July. Amy Heckerling, who wrote the original film, is adapting the script into a jukebox musical featuring songs from the 90s. A previous reading featured Taylor Lauterman, Dave Thomas Brown, Wesley Taylor, and Wallace Shawn, who returns to the Clueless world playing the exact same role which he did in the original film, which is awesome in so many ways.
Hey, what's up with the Tina Fey Mean Girls? Mean Girls.
Yes.
Just popped into my head. Have we heard anything about that recently?
We did. It was probably on a day that you were out. The show will begin performances in Washington, D.C. on October 31st of this year.
That's right.
Also, of course, directed by Casey Nicholaw, because everything that is fun and upbeat is directed and choreographed by Casey Nicholaw, because why not? He's awesome.
And then everything that's not fun and dirgy is Ivo Van Hove.
In terms of plays, well, anything that kind of is a minimalist take on a classic play, either him or Sam Gold.
Oh, that's true. All right. Recommendations. Bill Congdon visits KCRW's The Business.
Yeah, this is actually your recommendation, James. You sent this to me to do yesterday, and I didn't because I hadn't listened to it, so I didn't want to give people kind of a false sense of what it was. But this is something that you listened to and wanted to mention. So why don't you tell us about the Beauty and the Beast director's visit with Kim Masters on KCRW.
Well, as Matt just outlined, Bill Condon is the director of Beauty and the Beast, the movie that just was the live action movie that was just released. And he talked about how they got the movie going and some real good behind the scenes discussions and a very frank discussion about the LeFou scene. And I think that anybody who likes the movie or likes Beauty and the Beast, the show, the Disney version of the show, might be interested in listening to this podcast. It's a 15 or 20 minute interview, and Kim Masters does a great job. And we should also, we tweeted about this, but I didn't say to bring it up in the recommendations, is the Broadwasted most recent episode. Not only funny, but heartwarming and great stories, and talks about some really good things from Dear Evan Hansen that if you're a fan of Dear Evan Hansen, take a listen to that show as well.
Yeah, their guest is two-time back-to-back Emmy Award winner Michael Park, who is one of the stars of Dear Evan Hansen. And for more musical connections to Bill Condon, if you don't know, he directed the Dreamgirls movie from, 10 years ago? Yeah. And he also directed and did additional book work on the 2014 revival of Sideshow. So he is a musical theater guy at heart, even if he's mostly known as a big screen director.
All right, why don't you get us out of here?
All right, thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio, and you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt, and subscribe to Something to Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play.
And my name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. I'm Audi 5000 for the week. Take care of that tomorrow. I'm seeing Sweat at Studio 54, the transfer from the Public Theater downtown off-Broadway to Broadway. So take care of Matt. Don't abuse him. And we're going to have a little bit of a disjointed this week on Broadway on Sunday. We've actually already recorded Peter Felicia's sections, and we have some other surprises coming up on
Damn
Sunday.
Damn drama so desk.
Take a listen to that, and we'll talk to you then.